thing, folks. We all struggle with sin, every single one of us. There's not a person in this auditorium that last week you didn't struggle with some area of sin.
This is Straight Talk.
You're listening to Straight Talk Radio. I'm your host, Joshua Halleck, and I'm here with Pastor Mark Jobe, author and senior pastor at New Life Community Church here in Chicagoland. And Pastor Mark, you're taking us through a series called Contrast, Be the Difference. We're in the book of 1 John, and your message today is called The Real Test. What are you talking about?
In 1 John talks about the difference between light and darkness, and he gives a test, a threefold test to believers. And the threefold test for people that are walking in fellowship with God are this. If you're in fellowship with God, you should be having a degree of victory over sin. Not because you're managing sin, but because the Spirit of God lives in you. You should also be walking in obedience to God. It's not just enough to say, hey, I love God, but are you obeying Him? And you should be walking in love towards others. When we walk in fellowship with God, He changes us from the inside out. We're not altering our behavior. We are changing our heart that shows results in different behavior. This will be a powerful message.
We're in 1 John chapter 2. It's called The Real Test. And friends, as you listen today, may your heart be softened and may you be attentive to what the Spirit of God may be doing in your life. And I want to remind you, if you'd like to share this message with anybody, the easiest way to do it is to download the Straight Talk app, Straight Talk with Mark Jobe. You can get it at the Apple Store, the App Store, the iTunes Store, Google Play, anywhere you buy apps. And it's for free. And it's something we've created to help you develop your spiritual life and also share these messages with others. And you're going to find lots of other free resources and free sermons at the Straight Talk app with Mark Jobe. Let's get right into the passage today.
We are in a verse-by-verse study through 1 John. Now, I know that some of you are newer at using your Bible, so I help you try to get to the place where you need to get, because if not, you'll spend all service trying to figure out where's 1 John. So if you're new at using your Bible, you need to turn all the way to the end of your Bible. The last book in the Bible is called the book of Revelation, which was also written by John. And if you flip a few pages earlier, you'll find John with a 1 in front of it, John with a 2 in front of it, and John with a 3 in front of it. We're in 1 John, not the Gospel of John, but 1 John, written by Jesus' cousin. John was actually the cousin of Jesus. In fact, many scholars believe that John was the youngest of all the disciples, and he could have been only about 17 or 18 years old when Jesus called him to follow him. John's mother was Salome, which happened to be Jesus' aunt. Mary, the mother of Jesus, and Salome were sisters, which made John and James first cousins of Jesus. John and James followed Jesus from an early age, and John wrote five books in the New Testament, the Gospel of John, 1 John, 2 John, 3 John, and the book of Revelation. John is the only disciple that died of old age, a natural death. All the other 12 disciples, well, besides Judas that committed suicide, all the other 12 disciples died a martyr's death. Some of them were crucified. Some of them, their heads were chopped off. Some of them were boiled in oil. All of them were martyred, except John. And there's something about John, something about his writings, that knew Jesus from a young age, that had walked alongside of Jesus. Jesus referred to James and John as the sons of thunder. And some people believe that he called them the sons of thunder because they were very passionate. He got riled up really fast. Remember, it was James and John that when a city didn't want to listen to what Jesus had to say, they said, hey, Jesus, should we call fire from heaven to consume this city? Jesus is like, oh, goodness sakes. How long do I have to be with you guys? So they were all passionate, but sometimes lacked a little bit of discernment. A passion without knowledge. You ever run into someone like that? They're all passionate. Let's give it all for Jesus, but they just haven't matured a little bit to understand how to use their passion. But John grew up to be this incredible disciple that really understood the things of Jesus. By the time he wrote 1 John, many scholars believe that this was the last book that was written from the disciples in the New Testament chronologically. And so by this time, John is no longer a 17-year-old fireball. By this time, he's an old man writing 1 John. As someone who's known Jesus, walked with Jesus. So when you read 1 John, it's almost like you have a grandfather figure who is full of the wisdom of God, the love of God, someone that's walked a great walk, someone that just knows things that you know you don't know, and someone that's walked with God deeply and intimately. There's something about godly old men or godly old women that you just want to be around them. You want to learn from them. How about it? You want them to pray for you. You want them to... A few years back, we went to a fasting and prayer in St. Louis, and a fellow by the name of Bill Bright, who started Campus Crusade. By the time I met him, he was in his 70s. But Pastor Mike had come to Christ under one of his ministries in the university. And so his goal was, we need to have Bill Bright pray for us. He's an older, godly man. So we caught him in the hallway. And he laid hands on us and prayed for us. Something about an older, godly man that just prays over you, or a godly woman that prays over you. Well, this is John speaking to disciples that are living in a super pagan worldly place like we live in today, trying to live for Jesus in a real tough society to live for Jesus. They had all the things that we have today in terms of sin and pressure. People were falling away. Some Christians were making it. Some Christians weren't making it. Some had started out strong and then got swallowed up by temptation in the world. Some had given their life to Christ, but then had gotten sucked into bad relationships or habits or peer pressure. Some had tried to follow God, but were being swayed by materialism. Some had had a passion for God in the beginning, but had lost their passion. So John is talking to all of those believers about what it really means to live as a believer. His whole theme of John is really living in contrast to the world. It's about authenticity. It's not about religion. It's about authenticity. And so I want to read to you the first verses of John, 1 John chapter 2. He starts and he says, "My dear children." Doesn't that sound like a grandfather? The older I get, the more it seems like people that are in their teens or in their 20s, I feel like they're my kids. And that fatherly heart comes out. And so John is speaking not to children, he's speaking to us. But he calls us dear children as an older man would. "My dear children," he says, "I write this to you so that you will not sin." He makes it clear what chapter 2 is all about. Chapter 2 is all about us not falling into sin. "But if anyone does sin, we have one who speaks to the Father in our defense, Jesus Christ, the righteous one. He's the atoning sacrifice for our sins. And not only for our sins, but also for the sins of the whole world." Today I want to talk to you about three tests that John gives us in 1 John chapter 2 to see if we're really walking in fellowship with God. You see, in chapter 1 he introduces the thought that we have a relationship with God. But there's a difference between having a relationship with God and actually walking in fellowship with God. How about it? And I explained last week that you may be a son of your father, but it doesn't mean that you're walking in fellowship with your father. Your dad, you'll always be the son of your dad. You'll have his DNA. Biologically, you'll always be his son. It's on your birth certificate. You can never get away from it. You'll always have that relationship. He'll always be your father. But sometimes relationships degenerate. Maybe you got mad about something that happened at a family gathering or something that your father should have done or didn't do. And so you've had a resentment or bitterness and you no longer talk to your father, or you're mad about the way he treated your mother or an affair that he had or whatever it may be. And so you're still your father's son, but you're not walking in relationship with your father. It's the same way with God. If you have come to God through Jesus Christ and been born again, you are a son or daughter of God. But sometimes as sons or daughters of God, we don't walk in fellowship with him. And so John is telling us that the only way really to live the kind of life that God has called us to live is to walk in fellowship with him. Not just that you know God, but that you have fellowship with God. And so a theme throughout 1 John is this whole idea of fellowship. And what John goes on to tell us really in these verses, he goes on to tell us that what breaks our fellowship with the Father is this thing that we call sin. And so he starts to tell us that he wants us to walk in fellowship with God on a regular basis. But the problem with walking in fellowship is that we sin. And when we sin, we break not our relationship with God, but we break our fellowship with God. So this is a huge, important point. Some people believe that when they sin, they lose their salvation. And I run into people that say, I came to Christ, I gave my life to God, but I need to get saved again. Well, I thought you gave your life to Christ 6 months ago. I know I did, but I think I need to get saved again because I fell. No, you don't need to get saved again. If you're saved and given your life to God, you're a son or daughter of God, then you have the Holy Spirit sealed inside of you. There's nothing that can undo you being a son or daughter of God, but you can walk out of fellowship with God. You don't need to get saved again. You need to get into right fellowship with God. Are you tracking with me? This is really important. This is huge that you understand that. People need to get back into right fellowship with God. And so John says this. He gives us three tests to see if we are walking in fellowship with God or not. If you're sitting here today and saying, I'm a believer, but I'm not sure I'm walking in fellowship with God, he gives us three tests. Three tests that you can apply to yourself. Test number one is this. If you're taking notes, jot this down. Am I walking in victory over sin?
We'll be right back with Pastor Mark in a moment. You are listening to a Straight Talk Radio message called The Real Test, which is from Pastor Mark Jobe's new series called Contrast, Be the Difference. After the broadcast, I'll tell you more about how you can get a free copy of this message, as well as give you information regarding Pastor Mark's ministry at New Life Community Church in Chicago. Right now, let's get back to Pastor Mark. We are in the book of 1 John with his message called The Real Test.
Am I walking in victory over sin? I read a recent survey done by a Christian magazine, and they had their readers anonymously write in to mention what were the top sins that they struggled with. The survey came back and sin number one was materialism. Number two was pride. Number three was self-centeredness. Number four was laziness. Number five was anger and bitterness. Number five was tied with anger and bitterness and sexual lust. Number seven was envy. Number eight was gluttony. Number nine was lying. The people that filled out the survey said that their temptations were stronger when they had neglected time alone with God. Here's the thing, folks. We all struggle with sin, every single one of us. There's not a person in this auditorium that last week you didn't struggle with some area of sin. We established that last week. And if you say, well, Pastor, no, I don't think so. And I already know you struggle with pride. So let's chalk that up as one of your issues, okay? Or lying, that chalk that up with one of your issues. But we all struggle with sin. It's always crouching at the door. Temptation is always around us. There's always something around us trying to knock us out of our walk with God or our fellowship with God. So you can have two attitudes or a couple attitudes about sin. You can throw up your hands in the air and say, well, I'm human. We all sin, so I might as well just sin and not think too much about it. It's no big deal. After all, we're all humans. I mean, I'm not perfect. You're not perfect. So let's just sin. Or you could have the other attitude of, I keep sinning. I'm going to try to manage my sin. I'm going to try to be better. I'm going to try to fight my sin. I'm going to try to manage sin out of my life. And oftentimes we do that and find out that we keep sinning. How many of you have come to the altar and said, I'm really broken over this and I never want to do it again. God, I'm so sad about it. I really want to change. And then 3 weeks later, you're back at the altar over the same sin. Because sin cannot be managed. You cannot tame sin. The only way that you overcome sin is what John tells us here is not by trying to white knuckle sin out of your life. The way that you overcome sin is by a powerful transformation that occurs within your soul. It's about fellowship with God. When you are walking in close communion with God through His Holy Spirit, when you are walking in fellowship with God and hearing the voice of the Holy Spirit convict you, when your heart is clean before God and you are speaking to Him and He is speaking to you and your heart is sensitive and you feel at peace with God, that is the only way that you will ever begin to overcome a life that is dominated by sin is fellowship with God. And that's the point that John makes. So he says to us, my dear children, I write this to you so that you will not sin. Let me say this. I know that you'll struggle, you and I will struggle with sin until the day we die. But I also want to make clear this. Listen to me. Look up at me. This is huge. Once you have God in your life through His Holy Spirit, once you have the Holy Spirit inside of you, you no longer have to sin. Romans tells us that before we came to God, we were slaves to sin. That you had to sin. That you were just driven by sin. It was a master. You could fight it, but it dominated you. But once you come to God, you no longer have to sin. You are no longer a slave to sin. In fact, it's the Holy Spirit inside of you that gives you the power to overcome sin, the power to say no, the power to live a different way. Once the whole, not by your own power, not by your willpower, not by your goals and New Year's resolution, but this is about a power that's greater than you, that lives inside of you. It's God Himself that comes and lives inside of you, and we call it the Holy Spirit. My dear children, I write to you so that you will not sin. But, oh, thank God for the but. Because if it was all about I write to you so that we will not sin, implicit in the gospel message is that we stop sinning. In fact, when people come to God, and if you've given your life to God, repentance is about that. Repentance is about, I believe in God, but I also turn my back on sin. You can't add God to your life without saying no to sin. You can't say, well, I want you in my life, God, but I still want to keep sinning and doing everything I did before. I just want you in my life, just in case I get in trouble. You know, everybody needs connections up there. Seriously, I run into people that act like that. They say, well, I really need God in my life. What do you need God for? Because I'm in trouble. I really need God because, whoa, I'm in trouble with my wife. I'm in trouble with the law. I'm in trouble with my kids. I'm in trouble with my job. I got a lot of issues. Oh, I really, God, come and help me out. And God does that. But listen, when you invite God into your life, you are saying, I choose to live your way. And in choosing to live your way, I turn my back on the way that I was living that is contrary to you. The Bible uses the technical word repentance. Repentance literally means to turn from where you are going to a different road. It means I turn around from this road and turn to this road. I turn my back on sin and I say, I used to live that way, but no longer am I going to live that way. I'm going to live God's way. That's why, listen to me well, listen. I know that we have people from all kinds of walks of life, and I always make it clear that you can come to this church no matter where you are, no matter how you are, no matter what you've been involved in. You can come to this place, and God invites you, and you can come to God just the way you are without cleaning up. But when you come to God, you have to be willing to follow God's way. You say, well, Pastor, I'm living with my girlfriend right now. I've been living with her for 2 years. Do I have to give up living with my girlfriend before I accept Christ? My answer is no. You say, well, I like that, Pastor. No. You don't have to give up your girlfriend in order to come to Christ. But if you come to Christ, he's going to ask you to stop having sex with your girlfriend. Do you understand what I'm saying? It's not about, well, I got to give her up before I come. No, it's about if I come, I have to give that up. I have to choose two things. I move out or I get married. We've had a lot of weddings in this church. A lot. It's about repentance. It's about change. And so what John is telling us that I write this to you so that you do not sin. I know we're not Greek experts here. The New Testament was written in the Greek. This you do not sin is in what's called the aorist form. It's the verbiage of the aorist, implying the absence not only of the habit, but of the single act of sin. What John is saying is that you and I have the power. We have the power, not that we use it. It's like our brain power. People tell us that most of us use only about 20% of our brain. Have you heard that? So you have brain power to use a lot more. The problem is we don't use it. You also have the spiritual power to live a lot differently than you live right now. You have the spiritual power to overcome sin in your life. In fact, you have the power to live literally without sinning. Technically, you have that power. You'll struggle with temptation to the day we die, but technically we have that power by the power of Jesus Christ. So he goes on to say, but if anybody does sin, which we do, because we fail and we fall even as believers, the great news is this. The great news is that your sin will take you out of fellowship with God, but there is a remedy to get you back into fellowship with God. It says, we have an advocate. Say that out loud. Advocate. The word, actually, this word in the Greek is the word paraklete. It's found only five times in the New Testament, all written by John. You'll find it in John 14, 15, and 16, mainly referring to the Holy Spirit. The advocate or counselor. Another word for that is coach, helper. In this context, it's more like a lawyer that comes along your side to defend your case. When we do sin, we have an advocate. We have a counsel. One who speaks to the Father in our defense. To who the Father? To God the Father. Why does he need to defend us before God the Father? Well, in Revelation chapter 12, verse 10, it says that there is an accuser. It says, for the accuser of our brothers, who accuses them before God day and night has been hurled down. It's talking about Satan. It's talking about the enemy of our soul. Do you realize that day and night there's accusations about you being hurled against you to the Father?
This concludes the first half of Pastor Mark's message called The Real Test, which is from our current series called Contrast. Be the Difference. Before you go, we invite you to download our free Straight Talk app at PastorMarkJobe.com. That's PastorMarkJobe, J-O-B-E.com. There you can download this evening's message for free and find a link to our New Life Community Church ministry page, where you can browse the ministry of Pastor Mark Jobe. You'll also find a Bible app and over 400 other messages that we think will definitely encourage you. If you have any questions about our program or just need some prayer, you can call our office at 773-585-3300. That's 773-585-3300. On behalf of Pastor Mark, myself, and our Straight Talk team, we thank you for listening. Please do tune in again for another edition of Straight Talk, and have a great evening. God bless.